We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, formerly webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Digital. Oh, my friend.
How was your camping trip, man?
It was good. You know, I don't expect to relax anymore. That's good. I've lost all expectations to relax with kids. It's just go. So you know what? It's fun.
Are you saying you got to relax and didn't expect it, or you just didn't get to relax like you expected?
There was a time where I used to go on camping trips and think, oh, this would be great. I'm going to get a chance to chill. Yeah, no. It just doesn't happen.
They do go to sleep. If you just stay up later than them, you do get some time to yourself, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but you're half comatose from working around them all day. It's just not the same.
And then understood. You
have to sneak into the tent, and yeah, because we still have a tent. Oh dear God!
Kids don't have their own tent. Man, you need to get them their own tent.
Ah, they're too young. It'll happen. It'll happen.
All right.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks to everyone lately who have mentioned that they've been listening to the show. It's quite flattering and kind of weird to hear about it. And obviously, we know people listen. It's just still surreal. So. Anyways, we appreciate you. Thank you.
We do appreciate it, definitely.
So we've got a few things today, including more Bing news. This is like, geez, Bing. Buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, Bing news. How often does Bing news happen?
But first, we're going to start with something really heady. So I hope you got your brain cranked on. Ours wasn't. At least mine isn't. I looked at the damn thing. I went, oh, that's way too much math.
Well, but you know, Eric Ng. Eric Ng is a big part of this. He's Mr. Math. So. Mm.
Apparently his brother, I'm assuming that's his brother, is like renowned in GPS logic and math and blah. Anyway, that's how I feel about it all. Glad someone else can do it. But why don't you roll into this? I did read a bit of it, but I know you read more. So.
Yeah, so Stone Temple, which is the company that Eric founded, recently did a study on are links important. So Moz did one recently, Search Metrics did one, and now Eric's company, Stone Temple, they've done yet another one. And there's a little bit different results than the other ones. You know, Moz and Search Metrics both said, you know, hey, links are still important, pay attention to them. Eric's study comes out and says, links are way more important than we think they are. Right. And I have some questions about it. There's a number of people who have questions about it. If you read the comments, there's some really good discussion going on in the comments. I mean, we'll link to this study on our community page, Google Plus. But basically what they came out and said is, yes, links are important, but they're even more important. They did the study, lots and lots of math. If you're a math geek, you will love this article, like Ross said. Very technical. The interesting thing that I really pulled out at the end is that while, yes, links are important, it doesn't take very many of them, according to this study, to have a big impact on a site ranking for a particular key phrase. Now, unfortunately, Eric didn't go into a lot of detail about the factors around the specific links that they created or counted towards these sites, so you don't know, you know, how powerful the sites where the links were on, if they were anchor text specific. One of the commenters did ask, were they nofollow or follow, and he said, yes, they were all follow links. So, but that's the only real detail we got about the individual links. I will say that they have to be high quality, because they're showing things like a keyword with 60 or about 50,000, you know, the search volume of what they're saying is 50,000. Again, we don't know where the search volume came from. Is that monthly? There's a lot of information missing here. But this search volume, one keyword search volume about 50,000, was ranking in position 6. With only 3 additional links, they moved to number 1. So those had to be super high quality links to do something like that. And they show a lot of these in this chart that at the end of this article. And he literally says in the article, there's hundreds of examples that they have of the same thing. So what really made me want to put this and talk about this on the show today, Ross, was that piece where quality links make a difference. Because they're just talking about quantity in this article, and links are important. But it's really about, we've said this forever, it's about the quality of the links to a site. And the standard kind of link building techniques that people are using these days, there is like no way you're going to create the quality links you need to see these kind of results from 6 to 1 with 3 links for a high volume term. You can't do that with 90% of the types of link building that people are doing today. Just will not happen.
Yeah. Well, for those that who are, and I 100% agree, well, just for those who do want to hear the sort of an overview of the math, I am not reading what I understand here, by the way. I'm just reading what they've written. I tell you, my math skills are crap. But anyway, he said that the Moz and Search Metric studies are, you know, they showed fairly significantly different results, that, you know, links weren't as important, important, but not nearly as important as theirs turned out. He says, the key, and I'm quoting him here, the key to the Moz and Search Metric studies is understanding how the evaluations were done. They did the evaluation of each search engine result page on an individual basis and then took the mean of all the results. He says, I'll call this the mean of the individual correlations approach. Both these studies are also focused solely on commercial search terms. Now, what did they do in theirs? And again, reading here, says, we did a different type of calculation based on the quadratic mean. The reason for doing this is that it leverages the square of the correlation variables. And I'll leave it there, because that's just where it's so gone.
Like we said, it's a pretty geeky article.
Oh, yeah. It's got the full-on math equations and all. I mean, it's probably very simplistic for anyone who knows who's good at math, but no. I'll hire someone to do that. Thank you.
But again, my takeaway, I've said this for a long time. We've said it on the show. If you listened for a long time, you've heard me say it over and over again. Links are important. The craft of link building as we know it today is useless. I mean, 90% of the links that you build with the techniques people are using today have almost zero impact, in my opinion. There are definitely good quality links to be had, and there are probably ways you can manipulate people into giving them to you, but getting those links, those high quality links, makes the difference, and most of those are going to come organically by good content. And he did say at the end of the article, you know, when he summarized, that while, you know, he said the two most important things is you have to have great content, and then you have to market that content to get the links.
Yeah, no easy feat. None of this is easy. If anything, just proves the good hard work pays off. And that's something that Google has been pushing everyone to make happen anyway. I mean, they want this to be the case. And the spammers are really losing out. There's not as many opportunities. I'm sure there's still plenty for the real savvy ones, but it's much more difficult. And that's a good thing. Anyway, thanks for sharing that. Now, we took quite a bit of time for that. So let's take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to jump into some Google AMP news.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today. Today at BruceClay.com.
Are you paying too much for your paid advertising, or have you quit altogether because it seemed like a huge waste of money? Studies show that companies waste 25% of their PPC spend on average. The web marketing experts at WMETraining.com can show you how to make your AdWords account a lean, mean converting machine. Whether you're just starting out or want to take your skills to the next level, we have a class for you. Contact the web marketing experts at WMETraining.com.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorgedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorgedigital.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Now, John, I noticed that your signature doesn't say Advanced Digital anymore. It's Advanced Local.
Yep. I'm kind of hybrid of both now. I'm moving up to the Advanced Local company or just kind of reorging things the way they work. So it's not a big deal.
So but should I call you Advanced Local then instead of Advanced Digital?
If you'd like, that'd be fine.
I can update it. You know, we want all of our listeners to know what's going on.
Update away.
All right. So Google AMP, anyone who's made the change, you know, it wasn't extensive if you used a platform such as WordPress, because in many cases there's plugins that can help you. But accelerated mobile pages, which is what we're talking about here, is a means to provide a faster way to load content on your site for people who are using mobile phones and such. And Google rewards it to a degree. We just don't know exactly how much. At any rate, at this point, they released some news about it, and Barry Schwartz chimed in. First of all, there's 3 points here that Google announced. There was a 23% increase in mobile search users who returned within 7 days. There was an 88% improvement in load time for AMP content versus traditional mobile web. And 1,000 plus articles the Washington Post publishes in AMP HTML Daily.
Yeah, so the case study was based on the Washington Post. So that's what that they're talking about, the content that they used for the case study.
Yeah, so I did read it, and I know you did too, but based on Barry's results, it's a lot less impressive. Now, that said, we're not talking an equivalent amount of traffic here.
Yeah, absolutely not. And it's really interesting to me that it actually seems like his AMP pages are not performing as well as his standard mobile pages from his site. And for those of you know, Barry Schwartz runs the SEO Roundtable, which is an industry news site. So he is considered news. He shows up in news, and the AMP pages, assumingly, are performing for him similar to the way they would perform in some other media type sites, right?
So based on the past 30 days, he says 3.16% of the clicks for Google's reports for his site came from AMP articles. So only 3.1%, I'm reading from his thing here. Yeah. So only 3.16% of the traffic to this site via AMP, period. Compare that to mobile clicks to the site, 26.47% of clicks from Google to the site are mobile devices, according to my data in Google Search Console. So 3.16% versus 26.47%. It's kind of...
That really doesn't mean a lot until you read the next section when he talks about impressions, right? So for AMP versions of his articles, he had 15.3% of his impressions were on AMP pages, right? So 15.3% of the impressions had 3.16 click-throughs. However, 46.47% were for mobile impressions, right? And he had 26% of clicks. So to me, that says, okay, almost half of his mobile impressions got some kind of clicks, but only a fifth of his AMP pages got some kind of clicks, right? Mm. So that's not a pretty picture from comparing mobile to AMP.
Now, the question I wonder, my AMP knowledge could be fresher. I mean, we did a lot of studying at the beginning, but it's been a bit of time now. Doesn't AMP include caching? I wonder how much of that data is being properly tracked.
See, you can track that stuff. There are ways to implement analytics directly into AMP that work, right? So as long as you set it up correctly, and I'm assuming Barry went through the process to set it up correctly, you're going to track everything fine in AMP. The thing that kind of, to me, shows that AMP kind of is, this is where it gets kind of weird for me, okay, is what AMP does is they preload the page in the search results. Right. So when you're on a mobile device and you search for a news topic and you get that AMP carousel, all of those AMP pages are preloaded into that carousel. What I don't know is, do each of those preloads count as an impression, even if you haven't scrolled over to see the article in the carousel? How do those count as a, I'm not sure what they count as, you know what I mean? And, you know, if someone clicks on that, why do they even need to click on that? Because you've loaded the whole page in the search results. Why would they click on it in the first place to go see the page again on the site, right? So I can understand there being less click-throughs. I can understand there being less clicks on the AMP version of the page because they're reading the whole thing right there in the search results. So it's still a little wonky to me as far as how do you track the effectiveness of AMP. So while Barry's data is interesting, I don't think it shows the whole picture, just like I don't think Google's case study shows the whole picture either.
Yeah, well, yeah. That was probably written by a PR team.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I wonder how much they really know about that stuff. So, no. Anyway, it was interesting. Thanks for adding that. Now, Mueller files. The Mueller files. Gotta do it right. What are we doing here? Okay, so Google, don't worry about removing older content. Now, I know you were having a field day with this one.
I was. I couldn't wait to talk to you about this one.
Now, again, we're assuming we're going to take everything that this Google says as
grain of salt,
as the word, yes, which that's what you're basing yours on. But anyway, go on.
So basically, they say there's no ranking advantage to removing older content. People are pulling older content off their site or up because they're worried about the panda effect. Is it lower quality? Is it impacting my whole site? Is my other content not performing as well because I have this old stuff on there? So people are removing old content to help improve their existing content. And Google's telling us that has no impact whatsoever. And I've always said, and Ross and I have had this discussion a number of times on the show, I believe, that, you know, as long as the old content is still relevant, leave it. And if it's not relevant, leave it and then put a link pointing to the relevant version of it somewhere else on your site, right? But if you don't have a relevant version somewhere else on your site, then write it, create one. But there's no reason to get rid of it.
Yeah, if everything is treated equal, you're right. I mean, in our case, I can use ours as a good example of one where it definitely needed to be removed. We had content back to 2001, and dear God, talking about, yeah, sure, it was relevant. And technically, it's still relevant because it's about search engine optimization and search engines. There's nowhere to link to them necessarily. Yeah, oh, InfoSeek, yeah, sure. Are we going to link to a grave? I don't know.
Did you do a review of InfoSeek?
There wasn't much to review, but you know, that, I'm not finished though. So it's there's that, but there's also the fact that, and this was the main issue, quite frankly, is it was all using all the links were broken. The content was in a different format, different templates. It was a nightmare to fix. So we're like, screw this, we're removing it. I mean, there's certain cases where I think older content can cause some credibility issues for your website. And so that I would imagine have some impact.
So I will argue that that wasn't the content that you were removing. That was old branding, old design. And in some cases, it might be the content because the InfoSeek thing kind of makes sense. But and what you're saying is absolutely correct. I think sometimes you have to make that decision. Is it worth going back and fixing this piece of this page to make it look and feel like the rest of the site, or should we just get rid of it, right? And
especially when you know it's really not offering any value per se.
Right. But I think in what you're describing is more you're getting rid of the page because it doesn't fit everything else, not necessarily because the content is bad.
It was part of that. Yeah, the other part was the content was stinking old and had a ton of links. We were really, really good about linking. But my God, the amount of broken links we get in our broken links report was mind-boggling because so many sites were gone. But yes.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You do have to balance the amount of time and resources it takes to fix this stuff versus, you know, what's the value of keeping it, right? But if you don't have those kind of problems that Ross is describing, if it's in a standard, it's in the same look and feel as your existing site, doesn't have a lot of broken links, you know, even if it's slightly outdated and you have a more recent version of it, that same type of content, maybe you're talking about how to build a link farm, right? 10 years ago, you know, do you delete that? I wouldn't. I'd put a new paragraph at the top of it says, this is an outdated spammy technique. Click here to read the new, you know, what to do now. So if someone is searching for how to build a link farm, maybe you can help. If you show up for that, you can help them understand that this isn't what they should be doing. Instead of finding an article that teaches them how to build one and then they screw themselves, right?
Again, and all that can take time. We had thousands of articles. So how much time are you going to spend?
Exactly.
But yeah, so nothing is, as usual, nothing is clear cut. But I think that it is interesting, though, that there's no ranking advantage. The other thing we have, the one thing to consider, though, and is also crawl budget. Not that Google's going there a lot because they're not, because it's old content. But to a degree, I wonder. Never mind. And the more I think about it, the more I think crawl budget's really only applicable to new stuff anyway. So.
Yeah, unless you've got all that stuff in your XML files and you're trying to send the spiders to it on a regular basis. I mean, if it's not indexed, it doesn't matter anyway. And if it's not indexed and you're trying to get it indexed, that's a whole different situation.
Yeah. Okay, well, we better rock and roll here. I'm a bit short on time today. But the next one is short articles won't cause penalties. Penalties? Jeez, that's a strong word.
Yeah, that's exactly why I put this in here. There's this whole article about Google has short articles won't cause a penalty. No, they won't cause a penalty. Not at all.
Very few things do.
Yeah, but you might not get ranked for them. I think it was Search Metrics that did a study end of last year, maybe it was, that they do that study they do. And one of the factors they look at the ranking factors, is how much content is on a page. And they look at tens of thousands of ranked pages and compare lots of factors about each of those pages. And they say, okay, all the ones that ranked number one had this in common or this was different about them. They looked and they took an average of the number of words on the first page, all the listings on the first page, the results of Google. This is the average. So there's going to be a lot less. There's going to be a lot more. But the average was just over 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
So short articles, they're not going to get penalized, but they may not rank either.
So yeah. So to quote John, although it's always tough to quote him sometimes, anyways, he says, so I really wouldn't focus so much on the length of your article, but rather making sure that you're actually providing something useful and compelling for the user. And sometimes that means a short article is fine. Sometimes that means a long article with lots of information is fine.
Short article be very fine if nobody else is writing on that topic.
Yes. yes. So good. Thank you, John Mueller. You're always good for news. Now, some actual Bing news.
Woohoo, Bing. We need a sound effect for Bing.
We do. The surprise. I think it should be a crowd being really surprised. Yeah. Yeah. That would be awesome. Okay, so this is interesting. Bing is doing well. The revenue in May hit $5.3 billion with 43% growth. Now, obviously, that always sounds really huge. And yes, of course, that's good numbers. But it's to sort of break it down, right? So it says search advertising revenue, excluding traffic acquisition costs, grew 16%. That's pretty damn good. I mean, they are growing.
Oh, yeah.
That's
16% is a great number when you're at that level.
Totally. They're also seeing a 43% growth in search advertising revenue in the 9 months ending March 31st. Anyway, which is not far off YouTube's 50% growth rate. God, YouTube's amazing. Anyway, it's good. I mean, it's not a... Bing has never been something we completely ignore. It's just not something we completely love.
Yeah. I mean, it's good growth, but it's not Pokemon Go growth.
Oh, my God. Yes, that's happened. Can you believe that has taken off so fast that happened since our last show?
I know.
Mind you, we missed last week, but still, that's crazy.
It's amazing. Since our last show, Pokemon Go has more active users than Twitter, more engagement than Facebook, and earned $9 billion. That's just a nuts 2 weeks.
Wow. I've really resisted it. I know I'm going to do it because I know my boy will love it, but it's just so hard.
If you're a business that has a physical location that people come and gather, like if you're a pizza place or a bookstore or someplace where people could come in, and the longer they stay, the more they spend, one of those kind of businesses, Pokemon Gold is a Pokemon Go is a gold mine, right?
Yes.
Because there was a Pokemon Gold too, so we'll talk about that separately.
Well, son, and I read something recently that McDonald's is actually going to be partnering up.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised a lot of businesses haven't. I read a case study about a pizza place. The guy spent $100, got just under 90 hours of. I don't even know how to describe it. It's called a lure. So basically you set up a lure and Pokemon show up at your location. And so people show up to catch those Pokemon, right? And this guy spent $100 for just under 90 hours of lure time, right? He got over 200 new customers over like 3 or 4 days that he spent those 90 some hours. That's like 50 cents a customer from a marketing perspective. That's brilliant, brilliant spend. It's absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's really cool. If anyone who was interested in marketing it outside of just our SEO here, go and read about some of the outside of the box ideas people are getting from this Pokemon Go. It's phenomenal. Yeah.
And
really is a game changer.
Yeah, and just the end of last week, they added the ability for businesses to request the ability to become one of those places where you can set up one of those lures, right? So businesses now can go in and request, it's called a Pokestop, I believe. Businesses can request to become a Pokestop, and then people can set up these lures, and it just drives business left and right.
God, it's brilliant. Yeah. It's just amazing. Anyway, good for them. I'm so impressed. Anyway, augmented reality, I've been fascinated with it since it first came out, but this is the first time I've seen it gamed, and it's just genius. Anyway, let's jump into Bing Local. So Bing Local, I've been dealing with a rep over at Bing. He's been a big help, but also it's been a bit of a tragedy over the dealing
with two. God.
Oh, God, it's painful. They just don't read sometimes, and they did something different, and then it was about 20 emails over the course of a few months for one issue with one client. Pretty ridiculous. Anyway, he's very happy things are fixed, and he gave me some pointers here that I thought would be good to share. Now, I originally asked him, I says, okay, so because the listing that's been left for my client says that it was sourced from Yelp, do we change or update everything on Yelp, or do we update everything within Bing Local? He says, Bing Local. He says, we also recommend that at least once every 3 months, even if without updates on your listings, so obviously English being a second language here, even if you don't make any updates to your listings, resubmit the information to ensure consistency of your listing information in Bing. Having done this, the system will determine that the information is up to date. Hence, it will be prioritized more than those listings that are unmanaged.
So what that tells me is that even though you submit your information to Bing, it sounds like they may override that information with information they get other places. So they're asking you to resubmit it to keep it updated, which is scary, actually.
Well, okay, that's one way to look at it. The other way I look at it is that just you're not resubmitting anything new. You're just going in to prove that you are watching the listing. Same thing as Google's done. But now they're actually giving a bit of a reward. You get prioritization for doing this.
So define prioritization.
Well, yes. Well, we're going to have to see. But yes. Says, and also he says, though we also recommend as a best practice to keep your information updated in Yelp, matching the information in your Bing Places account. Bing also aggregates business information from several third parties, including sites like Yelp, in cases where listings are unmanaged for a certain period of time. So if you leave it unmanaged, then they start looking at those more. Very interesting. That is interesting. Yeah, it was a good email. Finally, out of all that, I got something of real interest. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a couple questions.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Yeah, you get that? Local? Advanced Local?
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right. So, you posted a question from Steven. It says, I'm trying to figure out the best approach for linking up my company's stock market listing with our corporate website so that the two are in some way linked in search results and people find the right information. Does anyone have any experience in how this is done and any tips? One source has told me that it's worth making sure our company's Wikipedia page is up to date with the correct stock market listing alias. We don't yet have a Wikipedia page, though, although there is one written, but we're finding it hard to get it approved. Interesting. I have no experience in this. I said it right off the top. No idea. What do you?
I think there's a couple things to discuss here. Wikipedia is separately, right? So let's first talk about this idea of linking up my company's stock market listing with our corporate website so that the two are some way linked in search results so people find the right information, right? So to me, I'm not sure what he's trying to accomplish here, because if someone's going to either be searching for your company or they're going to be searching for your stock market listing, right? If they're searching for your stock market listing, there are hundreds of places that list that stuff that are probably going to outrank you for that information. you know, your corporate website could show up for that, but most likely they're going to go to a, you know, a service that's dedicated to stock market listings as opposed to just your company site, right? So I'm not sure what you're trying to accomplish here with that question.
The question is that he wants to make sure that when his business shows up, that this is up between the two. He's hoping to get some sort of ride some of the benefits of either one, either pass some of the benefit from his site onto the stock or vice versa. The only thing I can think of, and I was trying to do a quick search on it, was, is there any schema for adding a stock to your page? And it does, right. I do believe there is. It's called InStock. No, that's InStock. Never mind. What am I talking about? yeah, geez, boy. That's all about business, or all about e-commerce
you're,
and stuff.
You're still recovering from your camping trip. I can.
I know I am. I'm slow right now. It's been a busy week. Okay, so I don't see anything about stocks. I'll put it that way, but there might be something in there that I haven't seen in this quick search.
What I was thinking is maybe he's talking about the knowledge graph and he wants his stock listings to show up for the business. When his business shows up in the knowledge graph, he wants his stocks listings there, which is an interesting idea. And I'm not sure how you would make that happen because it's really hard to control which data shows up in your profile for your knowledge graph listing. Something like the Wikipedia thing could help that, making sure finding other companies that have their stocks listed in that knowledge graph and figuring out where that information is, making sure that your company is listed there and is connected, link to that from your website could help, have that show up in your knowledge graph as well.
It's interesting. I'm sort of surprised. I'm looking here and I'm going through actual schema.org. I'm surprised I don't see anything yet. For adding, you'd think you could add your stock icon to, or your stock symbol to your schema, but I don't see it. Maybe there's something in JSON, but I mean it's pretty closely connected.
But at the same time, the stock information is highly regulated, right? So Google is probably going to pull that information, verified sites that since all that information is so regulated, they're not going to just pull it from random places on the internet. They're going to get it from the places that are dedicated to that information.
I've got an idea. The same as attribute. That's what I would do. In schema, you can add a same as and link to your Wikipedia page. You can do the same as and link to your Facebook page. You can also do a same as, I bet, and link to your stock page on somewhere very official. Perhaps there's a Wikipedia for your stock, maybe not your business, but for that. Maybe there's a more officious page talking about your stock. Do that. Try that. Yeah. That might be a way to connect the two.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good idea. I would still ask the question, Stephen, about what you mean when you say some way linked in search results, because that really would determine you're going to get better direction and advice if we can really narrow down what that means or what you're trying to accomplish.
Great. Well, and I hope that helps, Stephen. We have another question here from Giovanni. And Giovanni, we're thinking about it. It's a big question. You've asked some big questions.
It's a very interesting question, so we wanted to take some time to make sure we gave it the due diligence that it needs.
Yes, and like you said, it's literally $1 million question. So we're looking forward to getting some feedback when we send over our wire transfer information. we're going to have some advice for you.
But you can send it all to Ross because I'm going to be leaving in his house after November anyway.
Yes. Well, on behalf of myself, on that note, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Thursday on cranberry.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.